Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and today we are talking about why running is not going to fix your mental health. I think that one of the first things when I had a severe clinical depression episode back in 2013, I think it was, one of the first things people said to me is like, you should just exercise more. And I'm like, dude, I'm running 30 kilometers a week, which at the now doesn't actually seem like a huge amount to me, but then it was huge because I was a new runner. So really anything more than 15 kilometers in a week was pretty big. So when people said that, it kind of really didn't make any sense to me, and it really kind of proved that, you know, it was a kind of like a garbage kind of theory. And now I guess I kind of look at it as it's one of the things that helps, but if you're in the hole, it's not going to help you. Like, in the hole, you know, definitely I think having a routine helps, things that you have to do, habits that are ingrained, you know, anything that sort of like keeps you moving through is a good thing, and it's definitely not a bad thing. But I guess I see it more as a tool for like mental health maintenance rather than the answer to any kind of like mental health stuff that's going on. And, you know, like just because you get over a period of where you're like what I would consider acute in terms of mental health issues, doesn't mean that it's not part of your everyday life anyway. Like, even this week, the person who I normally see for massage, and I usually go see her once a fortnight while I'm doing all of the rehab, it just sort of keeps everything ticking along. She hurt her back, and so she couldn't see anyone, and so she had sort of referred me to someone else saying, you know, if you really need to get your body work done, you can go to this person. And I was like, yeah, nah, that's not happening. Because a huge amount of my mental energy will go into sort of things that take me outside of my introvert comfort zone, and developing a whole new relationship with a new therapist, even for massage, was like, yeah, I can't do that. I've got like several phone calls that I got to make this week, and that is using up all of my quota. So I think with maintaining mental health, you've always got a lot of balls in the air for all of the things, you know, you've got sort of things that help you out, you've got things that kind of are a lot harder, but are still necessary things that have to be done. And it's just about, you know, like what you can do to make sure you sort of have more in the plus column than in the minus column. And it was actually really interesting. Last week I watched on the interview with Andrew Denton, he was interviewing Daniel Johns from Silverchair fame, and he was talking a lot about his own anxiety. And when I watched that, I found it really interesting to watch, and it was really cool having someone else sort of talk on television about the real realities of living with anxiety. And then I saw on Twitter a whole bunch of people had a really different reaction to it, where they, like, I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming that maybe they didn't have a lot of experience with anxiety, and about how people who live with mental health issues, how their brains work, because they're like, he's high, he's on drugs. And I'm like, no, mate, that's just somebody with anxiety. That's what it looks like. Or the other common reaction seemed to be that it was uncomfortable to watch in some way, I guess because he was being really honest about what he struggled with anxiety. And I think that's also kind of interesting, because it wasn't uncomfortable for me to watch. in a lot of ways, it actually made me more comfortable, because when you see sort of things that you recognize about yourself in other people, it actually makes you sort of feel less of an outsider, I think. So it was sort of interesting to see that last week and then be thinking about it in terms of what I do in terms of my own mental health and how running plays into that, and particularly recently with how the injury has played into that, because it was always sort of a concern of mine that running was kind of like keeping everything ticking over, and if I had to take a break from that, then I might need to go back on medication. And it's not the end of the world if I needed that. I don't have really an issue with being on medication if it's required, but obviously if I don't have to, I'd rather not. It's sort of almost one of the things that you don't even really notice it until you... I don't really notice it so much when I'm on it, but I notice it when I come off, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's like going from being in a black and white movie to being in, you know, like high definition colour. It's really jarring in that way, and you realise like how much of your perceptions and your emotions and your feelings and your creativity has been kind of muted by that, and it was necessary and it needed to happen, but obviously you don't want to have that happening unless you need to. So I guess one of the benefits of injury is that I've shown myself that I can drag my ass through that without running being there. I mean, I guess the other benefit is it kind of shows you what you want, you know, like if I didn't really, really want it, I would have given up a long time ago, because it was a long time and it was a lot of work, and there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's always work to be done in terms of making sure that the foundation is solid for you to then go and do the things that you want to do, because, you know, you're asking a lot of your body, so you have to give your body a lot as well. And mental health can be such a delicate balance of everything that you've got going on. You know, some of it is your physical activity, some of it is staying in bed when you need to stay in bed and you can stay in bed, some of it is doing the things creatively that fill you up, some of it is spending time with family, some of it is allowing other people to take care of you when you need it. Some of it is making sure that you're prioritizing sleep. There's a whole range of things that go into it. And whether you have an exercise that you enjoy or not, that's like a really minor part. And it's probably the worst thing that you can suggest to someone when they're really struggling is like, oh, you know, like go exercise. Yeah, that's, you know, when somebody's in crisis, like getting from the couch to the fridge is enough of a challenge for that day, let alone suggesting that somebody take up an entire new sport. And once you are already a runner, it can be tempting to kind of like put all of your eggs in one mental health basket and sort of use it to manage everything. But that's a very bad idea, you know. You just need lots of tools in your toolbox, because what happens when it's the school holidays and your routine is disrupted, or what happens when you're injured or when you're sick, or what happens when you are trying to demonstrate a certain level of resilience to your children, ideally. I mean, you know, like hopefully that's sort of the goal, and you take away one thing and everything else falls apart. Like that's not good for you. It's not good for them. It's, you know, and it's certainly not good for anyone who cares about you. So it's sort of about, you know, creating lots of things rather than this one thing that acts as a protective factor. And sometimes it's knowing, you know, like when to push past something that is outside of your comfort zone and when to know that you are not in the right space of mind to do that, or what way you can structure something so that it's not going to be quite so challenging. So this, for ages, I joined Masters Athletics ages ago, and I've just never, it's just always been, it seems like a really anxiety inducing, the idea of going to one of the track club meet things on my own for the first time with a bunch of people that I don't know, and I've never run on a track before, and it just, like, it would just get into this big anxiety ball. And even though I really wanted to go, I never did, because it was just too scary, and I never quite had enough resources for that to be the hard thing that I did that week. And even though intellectually I know, like, that's probably one time that it's hard, and after that it would be easy because runners are awesome and runners love meeting new runners, and I'm sure the whole thing will be super fun and super welcoming, and I know that, but my anxiety doesn't know that. So I haven't done it. And I knew that I really wanted to do it before the Pan Pacific Masters in November, because I just wanted to get comfortable running on a track, and I thought that would be a really cool experience as well. And so instead of, you know, just sort of like muscling through it and, you know, sort of freaking out about it and doing it, knowing it would be fine, but still having it be this big anxiety stress ball for, you know, like the couple of weeks leading up to it, I just roped a friend in to coming with me. I may have promised her donuts, maybe, but whatever it takes. And that way I've created a situation where, yeah, like, it's still a little bit stressful, it's still a little bit anxiety inducing, but I've got like a bit of a support system there to get me over the line, and it's less of a hard thing. And if, you know, and if it is going to be the kind of thing where I struggle with it, at least I've got company. And so those kinds of things that you can do with things that might be sort of too much for you week to week is just, you know, create like a little bit of bubble wrap around that scenario, and you'd be surprised what you can do. Because really, I think the thing about running as something that benefits your mental health is that the exercise portion is like sort of like this small, comparatively this small thing. And I think what a lot of people actually get out of it isn't so much, you know, like the endorphins you get after a run, or feeling good within your body, or, you know, being impressed with what you can do, because all of those things are really positive. But I think it's actually community and shared purpose. And so, you know, like whether it's sort of like a class that you take at the gym where you're all agreeing to suffer through the same boot camp torture, or it's your running community, I think it's the community part that is probably far more impactful than anything else. And so for mental health, that's kind of how I look at it. It's not the running, it's the community, and it's what the community gives me through the shared language of running that is so beneficial to my anxiety and depression. And that's what kind of like helps to pull me out when things are going a little bit pear-shaped. So I hope very few people have any idea about what I'm talking about this week. It's one of those things where, as lonely as it can be, depression and anxiety do not love company by any stretch of the imagination. So the more people who this makes absolutely no sense to, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But if it is something that you have experienced or do struggle with, just know that you don't need to fix yourself, because you're not broken. And it's not who you are, it's who the disease is. Thank you for listening, and I will be back next week. We might even talk about running next week. We'll see.